Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello you, Pete Donaldson here with another advert. I'm pausing the football fun to tell you about a brand new product. You didn't ask for this, but it's happening, so strap yourselves in, alright? You've got a body. Have you ever considered cutting bits off it with our new razors, or resting it on a mattress, or making it watch some telly, or filling it with booze? But only the kind of razors, mattresses, tellies and booze that we say you should use. Here's how to do all of those things right now. Getting over to a website, www.etc. Here's what code to type in, ramble, at the checkout, and oh god, adverts are so boring. But my friends, you've wanted this for such a long time. We've listened and we've been working ever so hard to bring it to you. You can live an ad-free Football Ramble Daily existence if you head on over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Sign up and you won't hear another advert. So that's less of me, a confirmed sociopath, telling you, a normal person, to buy stuff. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. For ad-free Football Ramble Daily action. And now, let's get back to the fun. I'll probably say something rude like bum in a bit, so look out for that.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is still Marcus Speller.
My name is still Jim Campbell.
I'm still Luke Moore.
Guten Tag, everyone. I'm Pete.
Well, hello, everybody. It's another beautiful day in the neighbourhood. The Football Ramble in your ears. Coming at you like Cleopatra. How are we doing, lads? We saw some football on the weekend. Ooh, yeah.
We saw that Hazard peach falling not that far from the tree. Yeah. It's another Hazard butt.
Pete, you don't think that he's his son, do you?
There's three Hazards, yeah. But I can't talk about the third one because he's too young. But no, it was a really, really fun weekend. Football is back and I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, it was nice, wasn't it? It was just nice to just see some of it. And yeah, it might be a little bit weird without you know, fans, but you get used to it fairly quickly, right?
It's like watching Wigan.
I like to think that watching a lot of the German matches over the weekend, the Bundesliga, that I think I was more ready for goal-mouth action than they were. There was a lot of shanked whacks at the goal, air kicks. Oh, it was wonderful.
A lot of shanked whacks in Pete's weekend.
Whacks.
By the way, Luke, you say Wigan there. You saw Wigan lift an FA Cup trophy not that long ago. Have a bit of respect.
I did, yeah. I can't remember what the attendance of the Wembley Stadium was that day, but I'm sure I could look it up. I actually enjoyed that because it was funny, because it flew right in the face of a load of Manchester City entitlement. So I was in favour of that. But I will change my opinion cynically to make a cheap point. So you should know that about me by now.
Well, what you've done is we're 2 minutes in. We've had the first bit of top kind of what would it be? One of the top leagues in Europe back. Top shelf, Peter. Well, we'll get onto that in a second. We come back and then you derail us with your Wigan chat.
I'm poisoning your mind with my Wigan Athletic.
You're a disgrace. But back in the Bundesliga, Borussia Dortmund beat Schalke 4-0.
Axel Witsel actually said that on Twitter, which is very enjoyable.
Well, like, it was just there, wasn't it? It was there,
yeah, it's
for
there
the taking.
To be done. Yeah,
absolutely. Obviously, Haaland got the first goal of the game. Lovely goal, well taken, Jim Campbell. Even you'd have been pleased with that one.
Yeah, I'd have been delighted with that, to be honest, mate, to score a goal in the Bundesliga. But yeah, no, he took it well, didn't he, as he does. And it seems like just kind of nothing phases this boy. Do you know what I mean? Like, even a global pandemic, just business as usual. But you sent round a little compilation that Jackie Oatley highlighted on Twitter of Erling Haaland in interviews. And he's a very rude young man, isn't he?
He's aloof. He's aloof.
Yeah. He acts exactly like the sort of like villain that he's sort of portrayed as.
Do you feel some sort of solidarity now with those Paris Saint-Germain players who constantly kept taking the piss out of his celebration, which we scorned them for, and I still do, for that matter?
You know what? I actually do, thinking about it.
They saw his post-match interviews and thought, we have to take the piss out of this teenager.
Yeah, I mean, he was asked because they celebrated by the yellow wall, didn't they, as it's known. They did what they normally do, which is, you know, seemed to be a nice touch. And he was asked about that by an interviewer after the game, and he just went... the interviewer said, why did you still do that? And he went, why not? Like, it was as dismissive as that. It's like, all right, Erling, I'm trying to like you here, mate. Although, actually, I think if you are sort of a cartoon villain, maybe that's more likeable. I don't know.
Yeah, I quite like it because it cuts through all the rubbish. I mean, the thing, I feel, I understand that if it is him just being rude and insolent, then, you know, fair enough. That's not great to see. And I'm sure he'll grow out of it because he's only a teenager. But
yeah,
so part of me feels like, you know, the complaints we always get from listeners or on Twitter or from general football fans is, oh, you know, football players are so boring these days and all they do is answer questions in, like, cliches. Well, Haaland doesn't do that and yet he still gets criticised. I mean, last episode we sometimes hear on OTC, he talks about how Haaland is a real bit of a character and there's that story of him being spotted at traffic lights with the windows down in his car blazing out the Champions League anthem. You know, there's like, I think he's a bit of a character. And I wonder in this particular case if it's just he's doing that thing, you know, let's be honest, that I do sometimes where he thinks he's being funny, but it actually comes across as him being a bit of a prat. And I'm sure he doesn't mean anything by it.
I don't know. I mean, it's like he's not displaying a lot of character there. It's very sort of monosyllabic kind of rudeness. But, you know, it's important to remember, as you pointed out, that he's 18 and there's a lot of stuff that he may grow out of, and whether it is him just, you know, having a bit of a laugh.
I never grew out of it.
You know, no, this is true.
Yeah.
And what a lesson. Exactly. What an example.
It's increased,
Jim,
if anything, under lockdown.
We should point out he's 19 and he's actually...
He's 20 in a couple of months.
He is.
He's actually 28.
I know what you're saying, Luke, but if he's still doing this in like 10 years' time, and that's very generous, it will be rather, rather boring. But...
Well, you say that, but will it become a sort of Zlatan-style thing?
It will.
No, but Ibrahimovic is not... Well, yeah, but that became boring though, didn't it, Petey? Somebody back me up, Pete.
No. Well, it did become boring, like, at the end of his career, like when he was 37.
Marcus, I agree with you, but I still will not back you up.
Uh-huh. No, I just remember Pete explicitly saying on a ramble a number of years ago, oh, I'm so over all this Latin business. It's so boring.
Yeah, but that wasn't his part in it. It was more just that everybody got on board. It's the David Hasselhoff kind of effect, isn't it? But I think in many ways, like, I feel sorry for the person who's interviewing him because I've interviewed Boy George on the red carpet and I asked him whether he was going to have the chicken or the fish. He said, I'm a vegetarian. The conversation ended there. We've all had those situations with tough customers, but you just got to get through them. But I do always feel sorry for the interviewer.
I think, though, that Haaland's less likely to chain someone to a radiator, though, Peter.
You just don't know.
Compared
in these days.
Are you comparing that to Pete or Boy George? Because Pete did lock us in his flat once.
We're both in lockdown in Soho. That's all I'm saying, guys. Oh, things we've been getting up to.
Oh dear. The Bundesliga did happen, though, ladies and gentlemen. We should not forget. And I think this thing that saddened me the most in that 4-0 shellacking that Schalke got was that Marcus Schubert in goal had a tough afternoon. And it wasn't nice to see a Marcus in there getting that kind of treatment.
He was almost at Arsenal last season.
He'll be there next season. He's only 21 years old and he had a tough afternoon, Luke, did he not?
Yeah, he did. And I think it is definitely worth pointing out that he's only actually playing because Alex Neubel, the first-choice keeper, has done the dirty on him and agreed to sign for Bayern Munich, which is supposed to be happening in July. I don't know if it's still going to happen, but I'm fairly certain it's all signed. So David Wagner hasn't picked him because that's... Even though I love this, like even though that like, there is actually no fans there to abuse him, he's still not being picked because he's agreed to go to Bayern. So Schubert has been chucked in at the deep end. And and one thing that didn't help Marcus Schubert, not that he'll ever know this, is that he made some mistakes. He didn't have a great afternoon, and I really enjoyed the fact, can I just say, that from Steve McManaman, there was absolutely no quarter given that it might be quite a difficult situation for loads of reasons. One, that he didn't really expect to be playing this season because he's young and Neubel was supposed to play. Two, they've just come back after a global pandemic. Mm. And three, there's no fans, so it's like play at some haunted swimming gala, right? And even then, McManaman was like, he's got to do better. Every single time, he's got to do better. He's got to do better. Leave off, Steve. Relax a bit, you know. Paul Dempo Dempsey's trying to commentate here from home. Apparently, someone's trying to deliver something to his house. And he's still coming across better than you, Steve. Relax.
One of the commentators thanked someone on Twitter for the phrase Lewandowski. Now, I know I've let some stinking emails through at times, so I've got no room to talk, but let's not congratulate anyone for Lewandowski. Good
That's
God.
Awful.
Yeah, not even I would
Absolutely
do that.
Although,
maybe I would. But I think Steve McManaman, was it McManaman? I think it was. And now I totally understand that, you know, commentating and summarising is a difficult job, blah, 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 blah. We're just back, we're excited, and so on. And some of the cliches will just sort of come through and you will reach for any kind of, statistic or fact to try and just get people immersed back in the game. But when I think McManaman said something along the lines of, you know, Dortmund coming into this game on good form, it is a bit like, they haven't played a good...
This is the longest break a footballer has ever had in his life.
I really want someone, one of the commentators to say, well, of course, you know, it's an intimidating place to come to and all, you know, all these kind of things. Jadon Sancho didn't start though.
No, he didn't.
We didn't see Sancho, but we did see Jonjo Kenny starting for Schalke on loan from Everton.
I love that. I love that. And Jadon Sancho, I thought Jadon Sancho had a calf problem. Apparently, it's a bit more of a thigh problem. Obviously, they didn't need him to start because they won fairly handily. I wondered whether the fact that there'll be no fans and that that's such a big asset for Dortmund, Borussia Dortmund usually, that it would be a bit of a leveller. But Schalke they started off okay, but they're absolutely woeful. It's great to see Jonjo Kenny doing his thing in the Bundesliga. And obviously, we saw... Adama Lookman played as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
And which was nice to see. But I was just going to say very quickly, shout out to Hertha Berlin for essentially taking the piss out of all of us for actually being good. And secondly, I don't know if you saw this. I mean, this is getting on to be pretty specialist, but I actually watched, I've been missing football so much, I actually watched Greuther Fürth versus Hamburg in the second division.
All right.
And there was a header scored by Harvard Nielsen from Greuther Fürth. And it was a proper old school 90s header. And if you haven't seen it, it gave me all of the feels. Go back and watch it. It was a beautiful steel neck at work to batter the ball in, going away from goal. Beautiful header, well worth a watch as well. That was probably my highlight of the weekend.
Did you see Hertha Berlin's last goal, Cunha scoring
what a goal.
From the left-hand side? It was fair to say they were having some problems off the wings, the opposition, but he was that one who was nominated last year for the Puskás Awards for that goal against Leverkusen where he just dinked it over the keeper. He's only 20. I mean, good God.
Did the goals look as good when there's no fans? Is there something about the goals not being as good?
Maybe, no, I don't know. I reckon the 3D tech probably works better when they sort of recreate it later on.
That Cunha goal was it was Peter Unluvu-esque, for those who remember.
Yeah, beauty.
I felt. It was absolutely delightful.
Yeah, he absolutely did the keeper as well. Give him the eyes.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of Augsburg? They lost 2-1 at home, but they played goal music. And I thought to myself, we might have found some use for it. Which is this?
Yeah.
Last down a feeling. Yeah.
But the thing is, if you play goal music like that in that situation, it's. I imagine I didn't see this, but I imagine it sounds like a school disco before anyone's turned up.
Yeah, maybe. No, I'd have that. It would work, I reckon. It would work. If you get something good on pinball, you get like a round of applause and a little bit of noise from Terminator 2 or something. Do that. Yeah, would you... sounds from the films.
Would you like a kind of buzz of a crowd noise that the TV station could put on over the top of the commentary? I think that would probably make it sound better as well.
No, I would. No, because it's fake.
It might be a bit eerie though, right? Yeah, and I think that would be strange. It's been interesting, isn't it, to try and see how the differing atmosphere affects the games. I thought something that was really, really interesting was in the Cologne versus Mainz game. Cologne were 2-0 up. Mainz pulled them back to 2-2. But after Mainz equalised, the momentum shifted towards them in a way that you would expect in that situation. And a lot of the time you think, well, is that because the fans are up? You know, is that energy feeding back onto the pitch? But it was exactly the same. So certain things aren't maybe as different as we worried they would be. I know that's just one example, but that seemed really interesting to me.
But Jim, that's interesting because you say that. Marcus and I imagine Pete as well, have all played in games at Sunday League level where that happens. It seems to be like a weird universal energy that transfers from one team to another. There's nothing you can do about it. It happens all the time in amateur football as well. So the fact that it happens in at the top level of professional football, I find actually quite reassuring.
Yeah, the only other thing that I've seen just one or two people suggesting is that referees won't be influenced as much as they would normally be by the home crowd. And obviously they are human beings and we don't like to think of referees being influenced by 70,000 or 50,000 people shouting at them. But the home advantage, and I believe statistically, although do your own research as well, ladies and gentlemen, that does have a tiny little teensy effect sometimes on one or two individuals.
Yeah.
That will be reduced or even taken away. So the home advantage quite clearly won't be as big because of the fans or lack of fans. You know, it makes sense if you think about it. Bayern, they obviously won, keep themselves 4 points above Dortmund. So it's got a bit of a title race going on in Germany, which is quite interesting. And obviously on the continent, Luke, you and Andy will cover that in more detail. Did you see that the South Korean League was obviously carrying on from its restart? FC Seoul had their first home match since the restart. Now, there was no fans there. Of course, so the club tried to use some props to make it look more like a regular home match. They have received criticism, though, for apparently placing sex dolls in the stands. FC Seoul insisted they were premium mannequins rather than sex dolls, but they did admit they came from a supplier that produces sex toys.
If you were under any illusion about what kind of listenership we have here at Football Ramble Daily, I would say this is the most tweeted story to us of the season, probably.
Yeah. Marcus is one-handedly managed to destroy the email section this week by even mentioning this story.
Yeah.
All of the emails were about sex dolls this week. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay. Would you like me to apologise?
I think the listeners should apologise to us and try and be better.
Oh, they were beautiful, though, weren't they? I mean, so they were just all socially, responsibly distanced, love dolls spread around.
For a change. The
club were appears to suggest that they weren't actually sex dolls, but they were sourced from a factory that creates sex dolls. So what's the difference exactly? And there were images and diagrams from certain modules you can install in it was fantastic. What were they thinking, for crying out loud?
The most chilling part of that whole story, Pete, you just said there, was that you used the term love dolls.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say module. Interchangeable module. Is that not worse?
Surely any doll is a sex doll if you're
really
committed
love
enough.
Come along,
your mummy and daddy.
It's like Mitch Hedberg said, any book is a children's book if the kid can read.
Oh, dear. Well, Moving on swiftly. The Premier League, of course, is still in discussion about Project Restart. Some managers, including Stephen Bruce, I thought I'd give him his full name, have voiced concerns about the league resuming too soon because players' fitness levels are perhaps not up to scratch. And Raheem Sterling came out and said, you know, we need more time to get fit. Mid-June is being talked about, but towards the end of June might be preferred. But since we've seen the Bundesliga return, I do really want the Premier League back, if I'm honest. I know that could sound selfish and there's a lot of people who are concerned and so on, but that's where my heart, that's what my heart is saying, guys.
If you want to use his full name, it's Stephen Roger Bruce. So that's even more of a...
Stephen Roger and Bruce.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're talking to two men.
I don't think you should apologise for wanting football back. It's perfectly understandable that you're missing the game and you want to watch it. You're a football fan. I don't think you're saying at the behest of everyone else's safety, and I don't care how many people drop down dead, I want to watch football again. It's perfectly fine to want football back. We understand the health implications, and they've got to be mitigated, and I'm sure they will be. And we're a football show, so we have to talk about football as much as we can. Players' fitness is obviously a concern, but I was pleasantly surprised by the intensity on display by the German players.
Yeah.
I think it's probably worth bearing in mind that, as Pete alluded to already, the break they've had is probably akin to a mid-season break. So if you're not happy, I saw some people online talking about how they weren't particularly happy with the standard of the football and all the rest of it. Look, don't tell me you haven't seen some terribly kind of pedestrian games in the Premier League at the start of August, because you have. Everyone has. It happens every season. So that's to be expected. So if they can get up to speed and they can get done and fit towards the end of June, it might work. I think there's talk of, as you said, Marcus, the discussion today, I believe the meeting today, which is expected to be approved, I believe, is that players might be able to go back and start training in groups of five, which is exactly what happened in Germany a while back. So they're on the same course, it seems to me, although obviously that's at the time of recording and things may change.
Mm. Yeah, and I think also football will become, if they're not playing any more matches before, I don't know, September, October, I'm afraid it will look like what the one industry that is a bit of an outlier. I mean, our government have kind of sort of went, oh, just get on with it. We've done our best, just get on with it. Everyone get back to work. Come on, teachers, get back into schools. I think football will, if they decide or opt to, or the unions get involved and they don't play until September, October, they will probably want to be one of the last industries that gets back to work. And that will obviously turn public support against them. And we'll just have arguments like this constantly throughout the summer.
But Pete, as far as I understand it, that currently can't happen. They have to tell UEFA what they're going to do by May 25th. Mm-hmm. And the strong suspicion is that they have to have it all done by sometime in August so that the European competitions can happen.
I don't work with suspicions. I don't work with them. Don't let them. Won't have them.
Yeah, you create them.
Is this a suspicion-free zone?
I create smells and suspicions, but I will not have them myself.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter, does it? Because who knows? This time next week, it's all going to be different because that's happened every week since this whole thing started.
Indeed. Although it does seem that in Scotland, Celtic will be crowned champions today as the SPFL will decide to end the season. That certainly is the strong sentiment and chat coming up north of the border. So Neil Lennon and Scott Brown were right all along.
Marcus, will they do a socially distanced open-top bus tour? One player in each bus.
I really like the idea that that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Great for the environment. Buses just idling down the street. You know, one thing I really like about this whole thing is that it's really made a lot of fans north of the border in Glasgow really think about what's important and really see a bit of perspective and understand that, you know, there are some things that are bigger than kind of city rivalries. And that's why Celtic fans have been spotted putting 9-in-a-row stickers all over Ibrox this weekend. So is that a necessary journey? I'm not sure. Maybe some people think it is.
I've no idea. But League Two clubs have voted to end the season. Now, this is pending approval from the EFL and the FA, of course. But all 24 clubs took an indicative vote and decided unanimously that three teams should be promoted to League One, with the playoffs still taking place, and no teams should be relegated to the National League. So everybody's happy if the EFL and the FA do approve it, which is interesting.
Apart from Barrow, presumably.
Apart from Barrow, think of Barrow for crying out loud. But League One clubs didn't come to an agreement at their meeting last week. They are meeting again today. But Championship clubs like the Prem seem to want to resume the season. So discussion is still going on, but it's interesting what's going on, what happened in League Two. They've been quite decisive, but again, it needs to have the approval.
Yeah, so it just shows it's indicative about what League Two want to do. And I think part of the reason that this is the case is because there are so many players at League Two who have been furloughed. Yeah. And there are also a really large number. I'm not sure exactly how many in League Two exactly, but I think it numbers in the hundreds of players who are out of contract on the 30th of June. And of course, I'm pretty sure they've been furloughed as well. So it's a really difficult situation because the clubs down there just obviously don't have any money. But there's also a really interesting situation bubbling under with a team like Bury, who have obviously been kicked out of the league. And so there's an extra spot to be made up in League One. And I don't know how that's going to manifest itself. And I also don't know, when I mentioned Barrow there, I mean, they're staring down the barrel of not being able to be promoted. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things to sort out in League Two. And I think, as you said, Marco, it's just an indicative vote. That's what the clubs have decided they want to do, but it has to be ratified by the Football League.
Yeah, but I think the clubs making, you know, taking those votes, I totally understand. You know, there's a lot of moving parts here, as we've discussed before. And whichever decision you come to, someone will lose out. That's the sad situation. So I'm not at all trying to sort of say, oh, well, they should bloody well do this or something like that. But quite clearly, you know, those clubs making that vote, they are trying to say to the FA and the EFL, we want this, please do this. Do you know what I mean? Like let this be, kind of thing.
And the reason it hasn't happened in League One, just as a reminder, is because six clubs in League One, led by the Peterborough chairman, Darren McAntony, who's been very vocal in the media about this, have all said that they're determined to continue. I think it's Peterborough, Oxford, Sunderland, Fleetwood, Portsmouth and Ipswich. They released a joint statement last week or the week before. So there's not as much of a desire. It's not as unanimous, I don't think, across League One. So there's lots of things to be sorted out. The one major problem, which will come out in the wash in due course, is the financial implications. These clubs, so many of these clubs are in danger of going out of business anyway before this happened. You know, so it's a worrying time for a lot of clubs at that level.
Yeah, well, from that we go to UEFA and the Champions League, if you don't mind. Alexander Seferin has said that UEFA competitions will be concluded by the end of August, good luck to you. PSG and Lyon are still involved in the Champions League. But of course, France has banned football or sort of professional football and events until September. Now, I mean, you know, if we're going to get into the sort of detail of it, Lyon did beat Juventus in France, so they'd need to go to Juventus. But if they got through that tie and PSG did get through theirs, then they would need to play some home games. Now, Seferin has said, well, if you can't play them in France, that's for you to sort out. You'd have to play them in a neutral venue outside the country. So it's very interesting. And the other teams in the tournament are from Italy, England, Spain and Germany. And those four leagues want to resume, of course. But the situation is potentially more complex in the Europa League with more countries represented. So that could be a very interesting situation come August, if indeed we're still playing. There's not a massive second wave that's not put the kibosh on everything and so on and so forth. So, like
Has
I say...
Haaland offered up his car as like a playoff system for the...
I'll tell you what, he's going to have to drive around all the grounds. I'm sure there's an easier way of doing it, but I haven't figured it out just yet.
One of the funny things to come out of... if you can say it's funny in such a difficult situation in France, is that the Lyon president, Olas, is just refusing to accept the league is finished. He's like lobbying really hard because I think it'll be the first season in ages that Lyon will be out of Europe. And of course, they're still involved in the Champions League. So he's just fuming about it. He's spoken to the people at Amiens who have been relegated, who are also really pissed off and trying to get a bit of a cabal going. So I'm not sure what will happen in it. But I mean, it's really interesting to me how, as we predicted back at the start of all this, that you know, people will try and use this for their own ends as much as possible. There's no danger of a lot of people seeing the bigger picture.
yeah, absolutely.
It's that is a hell of a task facing those French clubs, isn't it? Effectively, your pre-season is the Champions League. Realistically, that is what that's going to be like as a sort of physical toll on those players. to get ready.
It happens with clubs in Eastern Europe, doesn't it? When they have to play in Europe and their season isn't finished, isn't started yet or anything like that. I mean, I think Russia brought their season into line fairly recently, but a lot of the time they'd have to play European games at such a weird time for them.
Yeah, and they suffer for it though as well, don't they? So it's, you know, it's
I take the point, Jim. Normally you're having a pre-season tour of, you know, Hong Kong or Dubai. The pre-season this time is going away to Atletico Madrid and Simeone. You know, it's not, it's not quite the
and run out. Possibly in a situation where they're playing again and you're not.
Oh, dear. Going back to South Korea, chaps, Heung Min Song has completed his national service and is back in London and is fully recovered from his broken arm. Just a little update there because we mentioned...
What's in that suitcase?
Well...
What's in that interchangeable module? Very nice, sir. Massively air-gapping these stories, Marcus Feller. Outrageous.
I can see we have a connoisseur in our hands. Step with me, sir.
You've earned it.
Pete, get down to the airport. We need you to determine something for us.
And how exactly did you get that broken arm, Mr. Sun? Repetitive strain injury.
Yeah, Luke, you didn't have to nail it. You didn't have to nail your arm to the filthy mast.
That's what he said.
Why not? He looks so, like, you know when like Elvis joined the army? He looks so Hollywood. Heung Min
Son,
he looks very wholesome. He looks so beautiful in his
He's a premium soldier.
Well, he is a premium soldier. Didn't he get like he passed everything with distinction? His shooting was excellent. Well done, that man.
I think it might be a. I think the whole thing might be an elaborate plot to a new Vinnie Jones film where Vinnie Jones has been conscripted into the army and they need to win a game to be able to get out again. And so they get Heung Min Son in to play with them, and they eventually win under dramatic circumstances. But Heung Min Son gets
escaping through the bath.
So
the rest of the team is presumably trained sex dolls.
I didn't say that, Jim. I alluded to that, but you could possibly say that.
It's all coming together. It's all coming together nicely.
Indeed, it is.
And then John Walk appears
with his porn star moustache.
And now it's time for a break, everybody.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are you struggling to find something to watch during lockdown? You've drained Netflix, rewatched all your old favourites, and now you need something new? Well, we're here to help. Join us for Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death.
Release the Kraken.
Well, not death. We just decide which one is better.
When they do a long shot of the crowd in the Ivory Tower, it's different to the close-up. And if you look closely, you can see E.T., Mickey Mouse, Chewbacca,
no.
Ewoks, and C-3PO.
So when Wolfgang Peterson went to Spielberg and went, yeah, could you maybe re-edit my movie? Steven Spielberg went, yeah, yeah. Do you know what I'm probably going to cut out? E-T, mate. I made that. Find your new favourite movie or revisit an old classic with me, Alex Zane, Vicky Crompton and Chris Tilley. New episodes out every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, you beauties. Hang on a minute, Luke. You've got something to say.
Yeah, I just really wanted to give another plug for the At The Match episode that was released yesterday for no other reason than the fact that I just absolutely love it. So if your routine means that you don't listen to podcasts on Sundays, then do yourself a favour. Go back to yesterday on Football Ramble Daily. Download Andy's episode of At The Match where he goes to LAFC in their inaugural MLS season, meets up with a load of ultras, talks about the Los Angeles rivalry with the Galaxy, a lot of Zlatan in there. Will Ferrell's actually in the episode, which, I mean, needless to say, that means it's definitely worth a listen. I actually watched Step Brothers on TV last night, speaking of Will Ferrell.
I've never seen that film. Is it any good?
It's all right. It's just a bit of fun. But the one thing about this episode of At The Match is that you think, oh, he's going to America to watch a game. It isn't the same. The atmosphere won't be anywhere near as good as it is in Europe. Wrong. It is arguably the best atmosphere of any episode of the series. Do go back and check it out. It came out yesterday. It's At The Match, and it's Andy Brassel watching LAFC in Los Angeles.
Lovely old job. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PTD.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with me, the PTD. If you want to get to us for short, as that jingle just said, it's at shortfootballrambledaily.com. The first email comes from Hang Fire, Scott Hurrell. Scott Hurrell says, remember Steve last week, he couldn't get his ball back, a signed football Southampton ball, wrapped in cling film. Steve Charlton's ball. If Steve is to put a note through the door, as suggested, he should probably not wrap it in cling film unless he wants the police involved. Definitely about the boundary dispute, but by the way, lockdown, people will not be making people less petty. Thank you very much, Scott, for that email. Lewis Stevens is reminding us that tonight, or later today, certainly, if German football is not enough, don't forget it's the Asgabat Derby this week in the Turkmenistani League, Yokari Liga. Lewis in Melbourne. I don't know what time he's going to have to get up to watch that. I don't really know how that will work. Michael Chapman, for some reason, I don't know whether it's the wave has kind of hit them later, but he's from Texas and he decided to do a COVID 11. We're not doing them, Michael. We said this about 5 weeks ago. We're not doing COVID 11. I don't care if you've said Alan said Vaxxer Man. We're not doing it. It's not happening. having my cake and eating it. Simon, cruise ship neutral venue solution. I have to admit, I heard this as an original solution for the NBA, so it's not my original idea, but the suggestion is thus. Cruise ships are out of business for the foreseeable future. They are very big. Are they big enough for a football pitch? Big enough to accommodate 20 teams necessary? Staff, referees, etc. Maybe even family members? I think you get the idea. Please discuss. Simon, do you remember why we don't use cruise ships at the moment? It's that reason. It's for that reason. Yeah. If you're not getting that, you're getting some kind of horrible. Like cruise ships, people get sick all the time. It's
you
crazy.
Get the shits, 100%.
Legionnaires, that's always a big one, isn't it? Richard
Scurvy.
Williams. Richard Williams. That's a pirate ship. Richard Williams says, I hate to be that guy, Luke, but can someone tell Luke that the head of the DFL is called Christian Seifert and not Seifert? He got it wrong in both the Ramble and OCT. I love both pods, but it kills me every time I get it wrong. I apologise.
No, don't apologise. Sod off.
That's a roller coaster.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those weird emails where I feel like I don't actually need to make a contribution to that.
No, Richard Walliams there. Michael Dawson did point out that I was right. The Super Furry Animals did sponsor a team. They sponsored Cardiff City. Ooh. And I think it was their League Cup when they were heading quite deep.
Yeah, that was it. That was the one.
Yeah, that's the one. but if you check out that kit with the Super Animals on the front, I would love that kit. It's got like the... remember there was a bit of a vogue for like kits to have like laced up collars? Like for a while after the Man United one.
United had one of those in the 90s, yeah. Mm.
Manchester United had one, yes. If you want to get us to show, show up at footballrambledaily.com and we'll be back with more emails this Thursday. Friday.
It's Friday, Pete, the show.
It is, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Jim, one thing I forgot to ask you earlier is, are you nervous about your beloved Leverkusen tonight?
The company's 11? Nah, mate. Not with a nickname great. Like that. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they get on, actually. It's funny, isn't it? I do actually feel a little bit invested in them, like sort of more than I would do otherwise, which is quite cool.
It's great.
Yeah, no, I was
Are you
gutted.
Worried about your are you worried about your footballer Alexander Lacazette back on the balloons?
Oh, yes, actually, I am. Yeah, stop doing that, Laka. Yeah. Or at least do it privately.
Well, I think he only knew about it because I think he sent a text to one of his friends who was clearly just leaking all of this, saying, just chilling out, relaxing, doing some balloons. And I was thinking, that was Keith Richards' routine for most weekends, wasn't it?
I thought that was going to be the start of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Perhaps. Maybe I'm naive here, but like, where do you even buy balloons? Do you get those off a normal dealer?
Like, what do you mean? How do you provide your own balloons?
The gas that goes in them.
You buy the canisters and then you use them to inflate balloons, and then you suck the air out of the balloon.
So you get them from a catering firm? Did you say there, Pete?
Well, yeah, I mean that's what provides the market, heavily inflated, excuse my pun, market, because obviously there's a side grey area of use outside the kitchen, outside the fresh cream of Bel Air routine.
Fair enough. I just didn't know how it worked.
You're from the streets, Jim. You live in central London with me, mate.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you think there's a danger though that Lacazette's, you know, bubble could burst?
Was that worth it?
Yeah, you stayed well quiet. We're not even in the same room. That audio that you just did there, Marcus, went to a server, probably in Iceland, somewhere with cheap electricity, and had to come back to it for it to get into our ears. So I hope you're happy with yourself.
Can I just say the amount of times that Pete talks about servers in Iceland is absolutely stunning. I've never heard anyone talk about servers in Iceland more than Pete does.
No, but every time you text a crappy meme, Luke, I think that's a waste. That's a waste of energy.
I'm keeping them in business. It's a great industry they've got going over there. They've cornered the market and I want to support them with as much guff as possible.
Oh, dearie me. Dearie me. Have you seen Maurizio Sarri wants to sign Jorginho? Of course he does.
Absolutely love
that's
it.
That's the stuff. If there was one transfer that will definitely happen this summer, he wants his baby back. He wants him back.
Pete, weren't you talking about a Giorgio Chiellini excerpt about Maurizio Sarri?
Yes, I was. Yeah, he apparently when they go in for meetings with him, his fug is so heavy and pervasive that footballers actually go for a shower after they've talked to him because he's just constantly smoking.
Oh my word.
Chiellini said in his autobiography, it's the wording. One thing nobody has been able to change about Sarri is his outlandish attachment to cigarettes. But he said you can only go into his office post-match while you're still in your kit dripping with sweat because you have to have a shower straight away. Otherwise, you stink of smoke all day long.
He must just think that his players just stink of sweat all the time. Oh, my God, such a stinky team.
No,
I just want some fresh players.
Pete, 100 fags a day, he ain't smelling a damn thing. Don't worry about that.
Oh, my goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Pete's Film Club.
Pete's Film Club.
It is time for Pete's Film Club. This week's film, you love it, I love it, Goal 2. When Newcastle United soccer star Santiago Muñoz is offered a spot with Real Madrid, he accepts. But the move, accompanied by big money and fame, tests his ties and loyalties to friends, family and business acquaintances. It's Jonathan Woodgate, the movie.
Jonathan Woodgate's in it as well, isn't he? Yeah.
What a great run by Mulies! And a goal!
It was all he ever wanted.
It's a dream start for Newcastle!
But for Santiago Muñez...
Here's to your new home, and may all your ups and downs be in the bedroom.
Mum!
This was only the beginning.
I've been on the phone for hours. They want to meet us.
Oh, my God.
Sure, I want to live in Spain.
I can't walk away from this chance.
Now.
This is my life.
He's living the dream.
It's a very, very big night for that young man. Santiago Muñez, for the first time since his move from Newcastle, starts a game for Real Madrid.
Guys, what did you reckon of this one?
I thought it was... How can I put this? No, so, I mean, it started off... I'd never seen this before. And it started off reasonably encouragingly. And what I mean by that is it only takes about 10 minutes for him to get the move to Real Madrid. And I thought, okay, they're not hacking around. Okay, he's off to Real Madrid. That's like the first plot point, and it happens really quickly.
There's really only Michael Owen dig as well, where he goes, he's just sat on the bench at Real. I don't want to be the guy sat on the bench at Real. And then he obviously goes the other way in the swap deal.
Santiago Muñez says, I don't want to be sat on the bench for Real Madrid. And I like to think that Michael Owen's people insisted that the next piece of dialogue is put in, which is, he's one of the best in the world.
Anyway, Michael Owen will never have seen this film. It's not on his list.
Yeah,
true, actually. But it happens quite quickly. I thought, okay, this might be quite a fast-paced one. I'm interested in the fact that it's going to be set in Madrid, and it might be interesting to watch, and it might be beautiful to look at. It isn't. It's none of those things. It is so boring. Like, everything about it is so boring. From the cliche stuff that goes on where he buys a car that he doesn't need and he cheats on his wife or his wife-to-be.
Spoilers.
And all this crap about... Yeah, it's just so boring. But Marcus, this is a film review section where we've briefed the people to watch the film in advance. There's going to be spoilers.
You misunderstand me. I was you said about his Lamborghini, and I was saying it's a spoiler.
Oh, sorry. In which case, I stepped back from the theatre of conflict, defeated. Anyway, the film was shit. It was really boring.
It was boring. I think they tried to cram too much into it, wasn't it? There's a weird sort of side plot with him having a brother and him rediscovering his mum who didn't want to talk to him, and then gives a horrific reason for why that didn't happen. There's him sort of like becoming a bit of a bad guy. It's like he turns heel. Like, it's like, oh, Santi starts being horrible, and his mate Craig Bellamy's out in Madrid with him as well, which is kind of slightly ridiculous, but they kind of resume their kind of flatmates thing that's going on. And the one thing that does, you know, stand out as being good, given a lot of the terrible stuff that we've seen, is that the football, when it is actual football, and quite often it's Champions League football, so that at least looks good. But that creates this weird disconnect, because they're in the Champions League final against Arsenal, and for example, and there's a few games like this where, you know, we know football, so we know this didn't happen. And some of the footage is taken from a real game, which Arsenal won 1-0 in reality. And I couldn't help but just be shouting, like, didn't happen, didn't happen, the screen when Madrid turned it around. Because the end of the movie, and this is a spoiler, and I'm sorry, so just, you know, put your fingers in your ears if you actually want to watch this, is that Madrid turn it around to win 3-2 in the Champions League final. But as Santi scores the winner, the film just ends.
Yeah,
like, and there's so really much abruptly. Unresolved. So much is unresolved. He's not made up with his girlfriend,
but like, it's said to be continued.
Yes,
it's just it felt like a dig at me personally. That actually, it was a strange and abrupt ending. It felt very rushed in the edit, didn't it? It feels like it needed another go.
Yeah, we got to tidy this all up. They must have cleaved out the bit where he gets back with his wife, and that's why he's his wife to be, and that's why his wife to be, who moves to Spain. She doesn't move to Spain. Actually, she remains a nurse in Newcastle for some reason, and she is very upset.
Although
with
it's
him.
To help people,
and
the reason.
To help, well, they have hospitals in Spain. They have hospitals in Madrid. I cannot stress this enough. And all the way through that film, she's constantly going, "Well, I'm not eating paella," and then she doesn't make the move anywhere. And then she's and she's constantly threatened by the sexuality of Spanish women right throughout the film. She's a terribly written character that she's getting catcalled on the street by sex workers. It is wonderfully badly written. They could not have wrought her worse.
Yeah, that is weird that she's catcalled by sex workers. But sorry, can I just make another point on that as well? There's a bit where Craig Bellamy / Gavin Harris is wearing a face mask in the bath, and Santi sort of catches him with it. And he acts like it's the most embarrassing thing in the world. And Santi acts as if it's the weirdest thing to ever catch someone do it. And it's like, there's a lot of basic bitches in this movie. Do you know what I mean? In terms of just the way these people think.
When Jim says face mask, he means like face pack, not corona face mask.
Yeah, I do mean that.
Yeah, and can, Marcus, before you jump in, can I just very quickly say that when I first saw Rutger Hauer in there playing the manager, which I bloody loved, I thought it was Bernd Schuster. And secondly, the guy who plays the fictional TJ Harper, I think is the guy who scores the goal for Arsenal. Is Nick Cannon, who was best known for being married to Mariah Carey.
He's best known probably for his MTV show, Luke. That's disrespectful.
I haven't seen it. He's best known to me as being married to Mariah Carey.
I'd like to talk about Steve McManaman's role in this film.
Second in command.
I mean, yes.
Holds Rutger Hauer's Guinness.
You've suggested that they've elevated his status. I would suggest otherwise. He was a player at Real Madrid at the time, and you've got everyone's in there, Raul, Ronaldo, Beckham. Beckham with his top off a lot. Lovely to see a young Beckham there and all the rest of it. McManaman seems to have this kind of sidekick role as like a coach and not a player, bearing in mind it wasn't that long before this film was shot that he scored a goal in a Champions League final for the club. Now, I know he was kind of phased out there, but the first time we see him is when the manager goes to see Santiago in the hospital, and McManaman's just stood in the background. I was thinking, why has McManaman just stood there? And then it would have. He then just sort of carries on like he's got. Like he is some sort of weird. He's not even a coach. He's like a sidekick to a coach, if you see what I mean. I don't know what's going on there. So poor old Steve.
He breaks up a fight as well?
Yeah. He's got a clipboard at one point. I mean, I felt a bit sorry for Steve Mack. But to be perfectly honest with you, lads, when I watched this film, I think because I've accepted our fate in this film club, I actually thought it was okay. And the reason why I thought it was okay is because my expectation levels are so low.
Soundtrack.
And you've been broken, Marcus. Your spirit's been broken.
I think I have. And I think this is what Pete wanted. And now I'm looking forward to goal 3, which is meant to be even like way worse, even in the words of Kino Becker himself, as we discussed the other week. But I think the huge flaw, Luke, as you say, with these films is it moves so quickly, as you say. Like one minute he scored the goal for Newcastle, the next minute it's like, well, hang on. In about 6 weeks, Real Madrid have signed two Newcastle players and he's about to get married and blah, 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 blah. But other than that, I would say 9 out of 10.
I don't tend to associate fast-paced things with boring things, but this film really upsets the apple cart on that front. Mm.
Yeah. Everyone's got their lives in Newcastle and they refuse to move on. And so you're kind of half in Newcastle still with his agent who's still fixing cars for some reason. He shouldn't be doing that. I'm on Santiago's side on this time. I'm playing for Real Madrid and you're back in Newcastle fixing
cars. Yeah. Get your priorities right.
And I just like the fact that Real Madrid, even though they clearly had a big hand in this film, they still look like they're signing players on the Death Star. They still look like they're a really uncaring kind of like commercial machine. He's oh, I'm Santiago goes to sign for them in Japan. I'm meeting them in Japan. The famous guys.
That was bad. That was
why
so
they? Why do they insist?
It's Paul Hollywood in Japan, people. There's a sumo wrestler.
In every shit film, why do they always use Turning Japanese by the Vapors, which is a song about wanking? Yeah. Why do they always use that song?
This is a podcast about wanking. I would say that Gavin Harris, I would say his money was not commensurate with having to work out. He did not look like a footballer at this point in his acting career, let's say. He had a bit of a gut on him, very enjoyable.
I like so often it's the dialogue that comes from the managers when they're in the dressing room in these films. As we mentioned it in the first goal film, the team talk when the what's his name walked in and just looked at them all and went, you know what to do, and then walked out. And in the spirit of that, the manager this time when Harris Gavin. Is struggling, it's when he's struggling to score, he just walks in and I can't remember what the first bit he says, but he goes, "Are you ever going to score another goal?" Like that.
Why can't you be more like Peter Schmeichel?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. This was around about the time that every single picture on Instagram was like kind of had that kind of hipstermatic filter. So the grading's really heavy. And I think that kind of, to 2020 eyes, 2020 vision, in fact, like we look back and sort of go, God, it's so dingy. It's because that grading, that blue kind of cool blue grading that they used on everything looked bloody dreadful. So when you saw him, you know, I think he made his debut against Olympiacos in the Champions League, scoring, he only ever scores like ridiculous goals, Santiago Munoz. He scores like a last minute like winner, chest and volley from outside the box. Probably one of the best Champions League goals you're ever likely to see. And he still looks like he didn't do it himself. He just stuck his head on someone. It's incredible.
But also, yeah, the way the ball moves has a hint of Soccer Dog about it, doesn't it? With a CGI.
Yeah.
I thought that.
Yeah. And the stadium sound never seems to sort of rise when a goal is scored. It always sort of cut to David Beckham. As I go, look, he was there, so it probably happened. That's the kind of plausible deniability they got. Let's stick some air, nothing in there. Yeah. Lovely old job.
They sort of try to make you root for plucky underdogs Real Madrid as well, which you just can't.
Put more Thomas Gravesen on the screen, that's all I can.
Yeah, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, don't be angry, Jim, because they beat Arsenal in the final. And by the way, Santi didn't get the winning goal in the final, just to correct you there.
It was Dybeck.
Didn't happen. Okay. Either way, didn't happen, like the worst people on the internet say.
Oh, dear. All right,
so,
Peter.
Guys, are you fully sated? What would you give this one out of? Were we giving them out of 10 or 5? I can't remember what we went for in the end.
We've given a couple of scores out of 10.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10. Goal 1 was... Because I got when he left from Newcastle at Newcastle Airport, and there's all those Geordies saying, "Oh, we're really going to miss you. Please stay, Santiago." I was like, "Oh, I've felt this so many times when players leave Newcastle to better teams." So I'm giving this a 7 because it upset me a little bit.
Yeah, because you gave goal film 9 out of 10. Remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would probably give it. I just didn't like it at all. So I'll probably give it. You probably get 4 for actually making the thing is the only exception to this would be Soccer Dog, which I don't think really qualifies as a film as I know it. But for generally speaking, for actually putting a film together, getting everyone in one place, I imagine logistically it's quite hard to make a film. So you get a 4 for that. So I'd probably give it a 4.5.
I'd go 5 myself.
Yeah, same.
Next week's film, the film you've got to prepare for Monday. Following Santiago Munoz's and his best friend Liam Adams and Charlie Braithwaite as they prepare for the FIFA World Cup finals, it's goal 3, people. The final. We're wrapping this one up. Come on, guys. Get involved.
The thing that chills me to my very core about this...
Pull off the plaster.
It's got the main guy from Soccer Dog European Cup in it, and it's got Tamer Hassan in it, which can only mean it's going to be shockingly bad.
The first film had a budget of 40 million. The one we just watched had a budget of 50 million. Goal 3 had a budget of 10 million. Let's see how this one's going to pan out. Let's see if we can even buy it on the internet.
I might actually watch this right now just to get it out of the way.
Get out of the way, yeah, exactly. I'll watch it on 1.5 speed right now.
You've got residual love for Santiago Munoz.
To quote Kuno Becker himself, the man who stars in these films, Goal 3 was a piece of shit.
I can't believe it's got the guy from Soccer Dog in it. What a horrific kind of amalgamation of all the pain we've gone through here.
Well, that's where they're scraping the barrel.
He got the gig.
The first few films, they're thinking, oh, hang on, who can we get involved? They're trying to kind of punch above their weight and so on. By then, it's kind of like, who has been in any kind of soccer film ever?
Right, Soccer Dog's money was too much. They couldn't get him.
Can I just say, you know, these days on Google, when you type in, I've typed in goal 3 just to see what the plot was and stuff. And underneath on Google now, they have a people also ask box. You guys have probably seen it. It's got a load of related Google searches, right? Just to give you an idea of the intellectual acumen of the audience of goal 3, the second most popular question asked is, are the goal movies a true story? Oh my god.
Yeah. Goal 3 taking on the world from 2009.
Producer Charlie has just said it's only 96 minutes, which is You know,
and mercy. And mercy.
That is something. But he says in selected scenes, a professional lookalike Derek Williams is used as a double for Sven-Göran Eriksson, so I'm on board, people.
There we go. You've changed your tune. They couldn't even get Sven in it.
We thought about doing that at one of our live shows.
Don't give it away. We might do it in the future.
Well, no, by that point, we'll probably be able to afford Sven, I reckon. He will have changed his... He's not had a club for a little while.
We'll get that kid who shaved his head like Sven.
Yeah, okay. He'll be all grown up now.
We'll get you a premium mannequin, Marcus.
That's always how it was going to end. The sex doll dressed like Sven-Göran Eriksson delivered to Marcus's door. Beautiful. So, yes, do your research. Do your watching. We're going to be finishing this all for Monday. Goal 3, taking on the world.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. We've come to the end of this shite show. Thanks very much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. We look forward to reviewing Goal 3 next week. Until then, listen to Jules and Andy tomorrow with some red hot football chat and all the other Football Ramble daily offerings you should get your ears around because they are delightful. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PED.
See you later.
That's goodbye from me, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.